Let's go into the word. Let's agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full of thanksgiving, and we say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that the truth of God's word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion, no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this morning. And we declare and decree that at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Well, go all the way with me to Matthew's Gospel 28. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28. Are you there? Are you in Matthew's Gospel 28? All right, let's start somewhere. It's verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the what? Holy Ghost. Let's read verse 20 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Teaching them, 1, 2, 3, go together as a family. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, one of the things we paid attention to over the last few weeks is that this instruction is not given to open churches. However, and because there is a need for the fulfillment of the instruction to be done, it means there will by default be a need for there to be gatherings. So Jesus will say, go ye therefore and teach all nations. He said the word you teach is what that means, to make disciples. To make disciples. To make disciples. So we are to make disciples, and because we are to make disciples, there will need to be gatherings of people in different forms and shapes, different locations, in the process of making disciples. Okay? Right? Now, one of the things we paid attention to in the last few weeks, and we're going to pay attention to today, is the essence and the act and the way we act, rather, as a local church. How do we behave as a local church? How do we behave as believers? What are the things we run away from, or we should run away from, or we should shy away from? What are those things? What are those things? You see, let me tell you something today, dear saint. If as a saint you cannot be corrected, there is a lot that says about your heart. Altogether. You see, a lot of people, their estimation of the church is so low, and that is why they think there shouldn't be order or structure in church. Right? People usually think that anything should go, any way should go, anything should, we can act anyhow, we can behave anyhow, an instruction can be given, and you can decide or choose to neglect, you can decide or choose to ignore, you can decide or choose to not have anything to do with those instructions. And it just goes as much to show how low we estimate the church. It goes as much to show how much we don't appreciate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, right? So the church is not a place where anything goes. The church is not a place where people act anyhow. The church is not a place where people behave anyhow. The church is a place where we act accordingly, right? There's supposed to be control. There's supposed to be order. There's supposed to be a sense of unity. There's supposed to be a way we act. Look at Paul in 1 Timothy quickly. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. 1 Timothy 3, verse 14. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. Look at what Paul says there. 1 Timothy 3. Did I say 1 Timothy 3?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, 3:14. These things write I unto thee. 1 Timothy 3, verse 14. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come to thee shortly. That's Paul to Timothy. And what he says is, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the what? in the house of God. Are you there?
Yeah.
So Paul is saying, I hope to come to you, but if I don't come, before I come, these are the things you should be able to use to direct and coordinate how we behave ourselves. So he says that thou oughtest to know how to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God and a pillar and the ground of truth. So there is a way you will act if you honor and regard the house of God. There's a way you will act if you honor and regard the people of God. You don't act anyhow. You don't behave anyhow. You don't do things as you please. Right? You don't come to church anyhow. You don't come to church anytime. You don't walk into church anyhow. You don't walk into church anytime. You don't greet your brother or your sister anyhow. There is a way, a posture your heart must have as a believer. There's a way you treat something you regard. Did you remember the story of the man, Solomon, who wanted to divide a kid? Yeah, go to 1 Kings quickly. Go to 1 Kings. 1 Kings. You see, how your slant and your heart towards a thing will be shown by your actions, will be shown by your commitment, will be shown by your devotion. Look at 1 Kings chapter 3. First Kings 3:16. Then came there two women that were harlots unto the king, and they stood before him. Now, one woman said, O my lord, I and this woman dwell in one house, and I was delivered of a child with her in the house. And it came to pass that the third day after that I was delivered, that this woman also delivered as well. That means 3 days apart, two women gave birth and they were living together. Is that true?
Yeah.
And we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house except the two of us in the house. And this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid on it. Are you seeing that? Yeah. 1 Kings 3:19. So two women gave birth, two women living alone in the house. And one of them, the child died. Why? Because a woman overlaid on the child. Did you get that? Yeah? So what happened? The pressure of the woman, maybe when she was sleeping, what happened? Rested on her, and what the pressure killed the child. Are we together? Right? So, and this woman's child died in the night because she overlaid on it. And she arose at midnight and took my son from beside me. So her son died, or she killed her son mistakenly. Let's assume that. Right? And she took her son. Are you there?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And as she arose in midnight, she took my son from beside me. While thy handmaid slept, that means while I was sleeping, and laid it on her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. What did she do? She switched the children. One was dead, one was alive. Right? And when I rose up in the morning to give my child suck, behold, it was dead. But when I had considered it in the morning, behold, it was not my son, which I did bear. That means a mother knows the child she gives birth to. Are we together? Then look at verse 22. And the other woman said, nay, that the living is her son, and the dead, but the living is my son, and the dead is thy son. And this said, no, but the dead is thy son, and the living is my son. Thus they spake before the king. So they brought the matter to the pastor. Amen? They brought the matter to the pastor. Yeah? So they brought the matter to king. And the other woman said, nay, verse 23 rather. Then said the king, the one said, this is my son that liveth, that thy son is dead. And the other said, nay, but thy son is dead, but thy son is the living. And the king said, bring me a sword. And they brought a sword before the king. Are you there?
Mm-hmm.
1 Kings 3. And they brought a sword before the king in verse 24 and verse 25. And the king said, divide this living child into two. Are you there? Mm-hmm. Divide this living child into two and give half to one. And give half to the other. Did you get that? Then spake the woman whose living child was unto the king, right? For her bowels yearned upon her son. And she said, oh my lord, if that's the case, give this child to the other woman. Are you seeing that?
Mm-hmm.
Give the living child to the other woman. And in no wise kill the child. But look at what the other woman said. The other woman said, let it be neither mine nor thine, but divide it. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
You see, what you regard will show in how you treat it. Two men gave birth to two children. One killed hers. And the king says, so that there can be peace, there's only one living. Let me divide this one living into two. You take from the head and the shoulder and the stomach. Then this other woman, you take the leg. And one woman said, yes. And the other woman said, if that's what you want to do, king, please give the other woman the child. What that happened there? He says, verse 27, and then the king answered and said, the king gave a trick question. You know when they give you something to eat and you eat it and you drink water. And the king was testing you. And he said, then the king answered and said, okay, give the living child in no wise. And give her the living child and in no wise lay it. She is the mother thereof. So the woman that said, let the other woman have it, I'm okay with that. But as long as my child is living, as long as my 9 months is alive, let her have it. And what was that? A way to show that that really is a child. Do you understand? And all the Israel heard of the judgment. Is that not a beautiful judgment by the pastor? Are we together?
Yeah.
So the pastor might not always do what you wish or please. Because the other woman wanted the baby to be split into two. Yeah, they give you one eye, they give you one nose, they give you one 16 teeth. Right? And your left leg and left hand. Right? So what you want the king to do might not always be what the king will eventually do. Right? But in that you must trust the wisdom. He says, and all of Israel heard of the judgment which the king had judged, and they feared the king, for they saw the wisdom of God was in him to do judgment. You see, one of the things you want to pray for, particularly for your leaders, is what? The wisdom of God. Are we together? The wisdom of God. How? Because the church is a place where different people come. So people have never gone late to work in their lives, but they've never come early to church in their lives. Are we together? Why is that the case? Because somewhere in our mind, we put in a very low estimation, or we place a low value on the gathering of the saints. Are we together? So people want to act unruly of the church. People don't want to be corrected in the church. You see, one of the ways I know that you are really following me as your pastor is when I correct you. Yeah? Yeah, that's one of the ways I know. Yeah? The way I know that you are literally or really actually holding on to God's word and following me as your pastor is the day you misbehave and I correct you. You see, in our world now, people want to misbehave and don't want to be corrected. We have ourselves in a world where people who don't like to be corrected, they love correcting people. They love, like, they know when everything is wrong. They know when everything is wrong. Are we together? That's why for me, as a pastor, I put myself away from conversations where somebody is telling me about that is what is happening in that church. I have a business much more than looking at what is happening in the church or the churches. Altogether, I am not sent to the churches of the world. I'm sent to the church, God's palace. So, when you start having people, let me tell you this. If you have any friend around you, who every time they are talking about you, is that church is not behaving well. That church, they don't know the word. That church, they like to say everything. That church. Be careful to know how to close the door of your house to that person. Because I can bet it with you, in a few weeks, months, years down the line, the next conversation will be about your church. The people who always think they are the perfect people. Right? So, in the real sense, what you value will show the way you treat it. The woman valued her child. And she said, okay, let another woman have it. Altogether. The posture of your heart towards something you value will show. So, Paul will say that thou mayest know how to behave yourself. That means we don't behave ourselves anyhow. See, is there anything called misbehaving in the church? Yes. Is there anything called misbehaving in the church? Yes. So the church is a place of accountability. Note that down. The church is a place of structure. The church is a place of order. The church is a place of accountability. The church is a place of structure. The church is a place of what? Order. Let me also add this. The church is a place of authority. know, I've told you before, we're all equal by the Spirit of God. But when it comes to accountability and responsibility in God's palace, we are not all equal. The day you decide to see yourself as equal to me in that responsibility, that's the day you stop being a member of God's palace. Reason for impact. I'm getting ready, okay? The day you see yourself as equal to me, you see, I in Nigeria, I've never even taught anything like this in years. But I realize that it's an important topic to teach the saints, because even people who you assume should know certain things will act otherwise. The day you are a member of a local church and you think of yourself as, "I will not the same Spirit of God? Why should my pastor correct?" You see, the best thing for your life and your generation is to go look for another pastor. The best thing for your life and your generation is to go look for somebody who you can submit yourself to. Why? Because there's submission in the church. I hear teachings of some of our people who talk about, you hear some women say things like, the Bible says the wife submit to the husband. And the verse before, the Bible says we submit to one another. Can we submit to one another in God's palace? In the body of Christ, does Jesus submit to you? Jesus submits to you. Yeah? As Jesus give you instruction, you give him back. Do I agree for anyone? Jesus give you instruction, you give him back. Is that how we behave? So if that's the structure, Christ the head, the body is the church. And we are saying the husband is the head. And the wife is the body. You see how Jesus explains in Ephesians 5. I said, we are all equal. Let me tell you something today. Your husband and yourself, when it comes to how God places order in the family, you are not equal. Are we together? You have the same Spirit of God. Yeah? Don't allow any social media world to turn that in your head. When it comes to accountability, there needs to be structure. An organization of people without a head, with five heads, is a monster. Now, then I'm not trying to tell you impute whatever culture you think. I just say this woman must be in the kitchen. This one was, yeah, as a person in my house, I'm 90% more in the kitchen. Have you not yet? Yeah, in the old house, I don't think she knows how to own the vacuum. Okay, she knows because she bought it. She read the manual. Yeah, so when I say something like that, I'm not trying to say your wife is in the kitchen, your wife is cooking, and she's putting Maggie, she's carrying broom to sweep the living room. You think you lift your leg up and say, and you sweep under and say, "Oh, she's a woman of honor." Then she goes down there and pack the laundry. I come and wash it for you. I say, your own business, just say, "Well done, dear. Well done, though." And that's what some people are looking for, you know. They say this is a wife material. And that's why some of our ladies, you've not married somebody, you are washing his clothes in his house. You go to his house, you wash his clothes. You go to his house, you cook soup for the week. God help you if the man is eating the soup to another woman. Blessed be your soul. You see what I'm saying? You are laughing, it happens. You use your money to buy the soup. You use your money to buy everything. You use your money to buy the rice. You pack it with your own money. You buy it. Okay, he didn't buy anything. And he'll take it to the office and share with his colleague. And he share with his colleague. Every the same colleague, only one colleague. Company of 2,000 people. Right? So, you need to understand. So, I realized in recent times that there's some things we need to say to the saints as what folks. We need to make you understand how things need to be done. Are we together? Yeah, so Paul will say, there is a way we behave. The church is a place of accountability, a place of structure. Not everything goes. There needs to be order. When it's time to pray, we pray together. When it's time to sing, we sing together. When it's time to play, we play together. Are we together? Yes. Imagine as I was teaching, somebody just brought out a sandwich box after they're eating. And using the left hand to write, using the left hand to eat, using the right hand to eat, and just... You know, if we allow that to start, one day we'll be here. And we'll just say, "What? I'm saying abono." You know abono? You know abono? Abono is the Greek word for the name of a soup that is eaten in Israel. Are we not from Israel? We're Mount Zion, the city of the living God. Don't you eat it? Abono. Yeah? So imagine somebody just... What happens? Distraction. So there's order in the church. There's a structure in the church. If you cannot submit to the structure in the church, what do? There are other churches. You don't stay in the house. There are other churches.
When you see people who are unruly in the church, you are going to get there today. What do? You distance yourself from them. Why? Because very soon you will learn from what they are doing and you will pick it and run with it. More often than not, when somebody emulates that kind of thing, they take it a step further. Are you with me? So there's accountability, there's structure, there's order. We don't allow anything to go. We don't just allow people to act anyhow. Look at Proverbs 12 verse 1. Let me show you something in Proverbs 12 verse 1. See, is there a tendency for someone to do something innocently, but that the person did is wrong? Should it be corrected? Should we say we don't correct it because the person was innocent? No, innocence is not an excuse not to bring. Look at what Paul said. Not Paul. Proverbs 12. Proverbs 12, verse 1. He says, are you there? Let's not get there together. He says, whosoever loveth instruction, loveth knowledge. But he that hated correction is what? Which version is that? New King James. Because what did he call it? Give a mic. Lecture, people online we hear now. What did he call? Who's the person that read that word? I know, I want to get the word exactly. Stupid. Aha. Is it what I said? Give a mic. He says, whosoever loveth instruction, loveth knowledge. Is that your Bible? Yeah. Everybody, listen, I believe in the word of God.
I believe in the word of God.
Let's go back there and read it. Proverbs 12, 1. Whosoever loveth instruction, loveth knowledge, but he that hated reproof is brutish. I don't even call the word. The word there, brutish, in the Greek, is the word, in the Hebrew, is the word bahar, B-A-A-R. It's a word that means stupidity. I said it. And that's why that translation gave you that conclusion. He says, whoever hates correction is stupid. Proverbs 12, verse 1. You cannot afford. See, one of the signs you know that somebody is doomed for destruction is when nobody can correct them. Yeah? When nobody, even in your marriage, if nobody can correct your wife, if nobody can correct your husband, well, light a light, not be lie, alarm to the eye. You are in trouble. Because anyone who doesn't like correction thinks they are perfect. Anyone who doesn't like correction thinks that they know it all. It's pride that makes you think you can't be corrected. It is pride that makes you think you cannot be corrected. It is pride. You think too highly of your low self. You think too highly of your low self. We're together. Look at Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12 verse 5. People who just want to come to church and act anyhow. Who gave you the audacity to correct me? Who gave you the leeway? Who gave you the authority to correct me? Once that is going to get into your heart, you are no longer a part of the unity in that place. The best thing for you to do is to what? Go to another hospital. Hebrews 12 verse 5. Hebrews 12 verse 5. He says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which said unto you as unto children. Now, where Hebrews is teaching from is the book of Proverbs. But I won't take you there today. He says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which is speaking unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. Does God chasten?
Yeah.
Yes, so God chastens. Yeah. So some of us who think that everything about God is just love, love, and what we mean by that is everything. Oh, you're my darling. God will see you in the wrong. See, does God call wrong, wrong?
Yeah.
Is wrong, wrong to God? Yes, now. Don't build an illusion of a God who calls wrong right because you are righteous. People have that mindset. Because I'm the righteous of God, the righteous of God. God doesn't see my sin, he sees me in Christ. Your sin is your sin. Your flaw is your flaw. The advantage is that you are in Christ and your sins have been paid for it. Not so you continue your flaws. That's why I told you last week, if all your friends, on Wednesday, if you are fighting with 15 people, and that friend you go and tell, maybe Sister Abami is my friend, I say, brother Daniel, this is what you did to me yesterday. Brother Ola, this is what you did to me. Brother Sam, this is what you did to me. And every time I tell Sister Abami, she's saying, wow, how can people be like this? 15 people. Only me. 50 people did something to me. Only me. Face of our friends. We lie to the face of our sisters. I tell my wife this. If nobody tells you the truth, I will tell you. And if nobody can tell me the truth, I expect you to tell me. Why? Because everybody wants to hear good things. Oh, you did well today. Oh, you did well. So today you leave the house, you did well. Tomorrow you left prayer, you did well. Tomorrow you carry the chair, you did well. Tomorrow you still did well. That's what people want to hear. That's why you realize that when you tell somebody you've done well 15 days and on the 16th day, you tell them you can do this better. You say you don't love them. Why? Because our hearts, the world has programmed our hearts in a place to always receive validation from the words of people. But God's word that gives validation as well, gives correction. He says, do not neglect the what? Despise the chastening of the Lord. What did he say in the last part of verse 5? Nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Does God rebuke?
Yes.
Yes, God rebukes. Look at verse 6. For when the Lord, for whom the Lord loveth, he chastiseth. He chasteneth. And scourgeth every son whom he received. So does God chasten?
Yeah.
How does God chasten? Look at the next verse. If ye endure what? Chastening. God dealeth with you as with what? Sons. For what son is he whom the father does not chasten? Or what member are you if your pastor doesn't chasten you? He says, but if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are what? You are illegitimate. That Bible stepped down. And my Bible now, you know, my Bible at first, it stepped down. My Bible now went up this time. You know the word he said, yeah? He a bastard. My Bible stepped up. And he stepped down in Proverbs. I love that. He says, if ye are without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then ye are bastards and not sons. You know, bastard just really means you are not a son. Mm. Yeah, you don't look at it the way people use it on the road. Where I come from. Furthermore, look at what it says in verse 9. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, that is your biological father, that corrected us. And we gave them reverence. Shall we not much more rather be in subjection unto the father of the spirits and live? He said, if a spiritual father can correct you, why should God not be able to, your physical father? He says, shall we live in subjection and live? For they verily for a few days chasing us after their own pleasure. Right? But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of what? His holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seeming to be joyous. I don't know anybody who, when they correct, you say, I love it. Bring it on. I love it. It's for me. Bring it on. No, he says, there is no chastening for the present that seemeth to be what? Joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards, what does he do? He yielded the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore lift up your hands which hang down and feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be what? Healed. What is he saying? When I was younger, my father chasing me a lot, and that's why I'm where I am today. You know that if my father did not correct me or certain things, I would not be where I am today. Why do you think God created? You know, God could have just decided that everybody on earth should just appear like Adam. Is it hard for him? No, no. If he can do one, he can do millions and he can do billions. But why did God allow it to be in a structure where people come together and produce? It is because God knows there's a very high importance placed on relationships. We're all products of influence. Are we together? That is why if you live in a house where the mother is being abused, right? You will most likely take that mindset into your family. Are we together? Are we together? That is why we need to be careful about the influence or the sphere of influence around us. Are we together? Are we together? So, he says, so how does God chase him? Don't forget, go back to verse 5. My son, despise not. Look at verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh. So God chastens by speaking. Altogether, God chastens by speaking. God chastens by speaking. Say, God can correct me. Say, God can correct me. Say, God can correct me. Say, God's word can correct me. Say, God's word can correct me. Say, God's men can correct me. Say, God's men can correct me. Are we together? So, I can be corrected, even me as a pastor. I gave an example 2 weeks ago or last week. I can be corrected. I'm not a perfect person. But I rely on the perfection of the work of Christ. Are we together? Yeah, I rely on the perfection of the work of Christ. Are we together? Are we together? Right? That must be your mindset. That must be your mindset that, oh, even though things can go on, your mindset should not be, really, someone help me change the battery of this mic, please. If I can have one mic, let's just use. Hallelujah. So, even if, for instance, I lost my train of thought there, but really, yeah, you can be corrected. I can be corrected. I would get, let me ask you a question. Can I do something and you can correct me? You don't want to answer. Let me answer for you. Yes. Yes. Look at Hebrews 13. Look at Hebrews 13, 17. It says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves for the watch for your souls as they that must give what? Account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable to you. So if your pastor is having a daunted heart towards you, right, because of what you've done, right, in the real sense, what did the pastor do? Forgive you, right? But who is it unprofitable to? It is you, not the pastor. Look at verse 18. Let's read verse 18 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience. In all things, willing to live what? Holiness. So a pastor can do something, right? But your idea should be, if you trust your pastor, he has a good conscience. Pray for him. Now, can your pastor do something that needs correction? Yes. What do you not do? You don't say, because we are all the Spirit of God, I can just talk to my pastor anyhow. How do you correct your pastor? Honorably. 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 Are we together? Oh, pastor. Thank you. Right? So, you can reach a pastor and say, pastor, you said this and you said that. I was thinking that, you know, we could... in fact, better for you if you have a scripture to use to explain it. Are we together? You see, why am I loud on the kind of things I say? It's so that it can stick well with you and become your conviction. So that in case any day I do something outside the world, you know not to follow. Amen? Amen. You know where to stop. Build your conviction so well. The day I come here and say, God placed on my heart 10 of you that have the right seed to put. What do you do? Pastor, you count yourself. Pastor, you count your wife. Pastor, all your children are here, you give for them. Yeah, learn God's word such that you are that convicted in God's word. I want to get that. I look up one day and I say, God said that there's a mountain that you need to succumb. There's a mountain, there's a wall that needs to come down beside you. And the wall that will get that wall down, or the faith that will, an expression of the faith that will get that wall down is that which you I have a man who says this one, so making me look like a bishop. I want to get that. Yeah. So you must know to you should so I should be able to. I will feel safe the day I ask for seat in this church, and several of you on individual occasions come and meet me. Not the one that pastor not true. That's what disorderliness. You say, pastor, I remember your teaching, and that's why I used to put date on our teaching. You know, if you look at our teaching, 12th of January, you know the date. So you say, pastor, 13th of May, 1994. Are you saying we should follow that one? Because if you follow that one, what you said here, it has moved. Can we look at it together? Can we examine it together? Can we have a conversation around it? Are we together? You see, when there's a problem for you, when your pastor does something wrong, in quotes, and you discuss with another member, that is the beginning of downfall. Are you here? Are you here? The moment you discuss with another member, that's the beginning of downfall. Why? Because you don't even trust the person you are speaking to help, either it will help your heart or make it worse. All I'm mean by downfall just really means you can't receive from that man again. You can't receive from that woman again. You can't receive from that vessel again. The moment you go and speak it to somebody else without speaking to the pastor, you what? You misbehaved. Are we together? Are we together? You know, there are matters that should happen among saints that saints should tackle it once and for all. Before another, that's what we talked about a few weeks ago. Bible says when somebody is offended at you, what you do? You go to the person and speak. If you get to the person's door and the person tells the security guy at the door not to allow you in, what do? You go and tell a reasonable leader or directly tell the church, the leadership of the church, that the church can see how to what resolve this thing. That's what Paul will tell you in 1 Corinthians. We saw that 2 Wednesdays ago. How dare some of you have issues and you take it to court? Is it that there's no one? See, when you take a court with another believer in your local church, for instance, to court, you as well have said that the church cannot handle it. That's what Paul is teaching there. Are we together? Are we together? So it means that as saints, we need to be able to be careful to put our hearts in the place to listen to the word, pay attention to the word, receive counsel and instruction. Are we together? I used to say this, and I think I'll say it right now. A few years ago, if someone should ask me, I usually say this, like, pastoring is one of the most complex things to do on the earth. But I say this without any reservation. The most complex office to operating as a man on this earth is the office of leading men who are born of God. You know why? If you are a president of a nation, maximum you can spend is 8 years. Let's say maximum you spend officially. But a pastor, he stays there. That is why, of all things, you must strive as much as possible. That's why Paul will say, Paul, then Hebrews writer will say, pray for us. Pray for us. That's why the most spoken about prayer point in the epistles is prayer for your pastor. Why? See, you go to school, you pay school fees, or they give you scholarship, somebody else paid for it. How much can you possibly give to a man who changed the course of your life eternally? How much? I hear people just think that. You see, when you see the media space talking about a pastor, the target is not that man. No. It's you. You here looking at me. We're the ones. No, the target is not that man. That man is just one. When you see a man, for instance, who operated in the miraculous, and all of a sudden, one nonsense TV station come and say they are doing interview of everything. You know they are targeting. They're not targeting the man, no. They're not targeting anybody. They're targeting you. Because your subconscious begins to now say, let me use this lens to look at my pastor. And you started what? Getting your heart in a place where you possibly not receive. So it takes a lot of intentionality. That's why I don't understand why Christians are the ones that will be involved in what? Writing epistles, writing stories. You heard what? You know, in this recent 3 years of my life, I've been pastoring for a few days right now. And I realized that a human being can wake up, conjure a story in his mind, and make it a story, and make it a story, and run with the story. Yeah, and run with it. And we tell everybody that cares to listen. You know, the unfortunate thing, more often than not, we don't have the pastor to come and say the side of the story. So what do people, you know, I was talking to someone recently, and the person was just giving an example of something that was happening, and I was like, it's the first person that I've talked that is louder. You can't afford to put your pastor in that kind of position. Where your pastor wants to quickly talk before you. So that when you are talking, he has gone ahead. John the Baptist. Forerunner. He has said the word ahead. Praise God. Yeah. See what I'm saying? Looks funny, but these are the realities that we need to face in the church. Okay? So we need to be careful. Have that attitude of honor towards the saints. The love for the church. You don't despise the brethren. You don't despise your pastor. You don't have a low estimation of people in the church whom Christ died for. That is the attitude of the saints. When you come to church, you are submissive. You have a heart of submission. You have a heart of submission as an end in itself. Why? We are a people of authority. We are a people who don't behave unruly. We are a people who, in the real sense, will have to behave in certain ways. You see, in the church, can somebody do wrong and the pastor mentions that matter on the pulpit? You don't remember. 1 Corinthians. Let's start there.
go to 1 Corinthians. I remember someone telling my dad a few couple over 10 years ago, saying, Pastor, you use me to preach today. And guess my lovely dad's response, bless his heart. He said, sorry, am I supposed to use trees to preach? Imagine I came to you and I said, and there was a palm wine tree. And there's an Iroko tree beside. And they were growing. And you say, my wife did something last night. I was cracking a joke with her, showing her a joke last night. I said, in my head, I'm like, I expect you to laugh. You are doing Rema. I said, like a joke. A computer was cracking a joke with you can see all his veins coming out. He said, Woman. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 9. He says, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 9, God is faithful by whom ye have called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye speak, all ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind, and in the what? Same. So is there such a thing called same mind?
Yes.
Same judgment?
Yes.
Look at Paul says in verse 11. Please don't lose track of what I'm about to say. 1 Corinthians 1, 11. For it has been declared. Another word for declared there is what? Told or what? Use the informed. Let's use the normal conventional word. Look at 1 Corinthians 5. 1 Corinthians 5 verse 1. It is what? It is what? Reported. That means somebody reported the issue. Yeah? So look at it. He said it is reported, right? What verse 9? It is reported unto me of you, my brethren. You see, he still calls them brethren. He said, bro, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there is contention amongst you. Let me ask you, what is contention? Division and strife. Can there be division in local church?
Yeah.
If you know, what should you do? You report the first part of it. You report. If Sister Esther and Brother Sam are fighting in the local church and you know, what do you do? No, don't tell the pastor. Let's just start with your reports. Don't get to the womb first. Don't get to the womb. Who do they report to? Paul. There's only report to Paul. Don't put me in trouble. Right? So if you find out that there's strife between them, what do you do? As a brother, you report. As a pastor, what do I do? I can decide to say, Sister Esther, Brother Sam, come. Brother John and his household told me two of you are fighting. How you know the heart of somebody who is willing to change is their response to that statement. The moment Sister Esther or Brother Sam get to say, Brother John, you betrayer, backstabber, snake, serpent, scorpion, only you. It's not going well with you. You know that's what happens in the church. So they now leave the correction the pastor brings. Pastor, go and do your correction by yourself. Yeah, go and do your correction by yourself. You see that, Brother John? When Brother John is about to enter, they leave the entire staircase. If they are coming from the staircase and Brother John is coming, they just run back. They just go back to the car to pick something they not forget. You see what I'm saying to you, happens in the church? Eh? In my very eye, I didn't know that it were two people in God's palace. My very eye. Eh? And pastor will say, reach out to two or three people and give them one more before you sit down. And you are sitting in front, you already know where the other brother is sitting. You look like you turn like this. You greet everybody here. And you see your side eye, look. If the person is following you, you look like this. You just like, look like you don't see. It happens in the church. Are we together? Now, so Paul says, it is reported that there is contention. Look at chapter 5. Paul says, it is reported commonly. You see, you are in a safe church when somebody else can see the work of the flesh and report it. You are in a safe church. We'll go back to Absalom this afternoon. He says, it's reported that there's fornication among you. Of such fornication is not even so as much as named at the Gentiles. That one should have his father's wife. If you see a member sleeping with his father's wife, what should you do? You report to Paul. Are we together? Does that need to be corrected? Yes. What did Paul say?
He says, and ye apostles, that means they were even bragging about it. You know what that really means? You see, let me tell you this attitude. When you are in the wrong, and you are trying to, and you are being corrected for any reason, you are saying, after all, my Father in heaven has forgiven me. God holds no sin against me. That's what Paul is addressing here. He says, you are puffed up around this. He says, you are puffed up, and I'm not rather mourned that he has done this thing I've taken away from amongst you. So is there a thing called taking someone amongst people and putting them under what? A discipline. Yes, ma'am. Look at verse 3. For I verily have absent in the body, but present in the spirit, I have judged already, as though I were present concerning him that had done this. What did Paul say in verse 4? Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, let's read together 1 Corinthians 5:4. 1, 2, 3, go. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, what do you mean in verse 5? To deliver such a one unto what? Satan, for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. Look at verse 6. Your glory is not good. Know you not that the little living, living the whole lot. So he's trying to say, if there's brother Sam and sister Esther who are fighting in church, that seems like little compared to the number of everybody. But that can contaminate the entire church. What do you do? We deliver brother Stephen, brother Sam, and deliver sister Esther to who? To the devil. How do you deliver to the devil? Now, it's not to say, devil, come to the round table. See this brother? Jesus died for him. This sister, God rose Jesus up for her. But we are handing out. No. What is the goal? It's not to destroy the person. It is to destroy that conduct. Let me show you one again. First Thessalonians. So, is there a thing called name calling for bad conduct? Yeah. If you don't want your name to be called for bad conduct, what do you do? Don't do bad conduct. Bless your soul. And what were you thinking I was saying? Look at 1 Thessalonians or 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 6. 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye, what? Withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh what? Disorderly. Is it the same thing Paul was saying in 1 Corinthians 5? So to deliver such a one unto Satan is to withdraw yourself. Are we together? Remember I said the word there Satan does not mean the devil. The word there Satan is the word opposition, Satanas. So it means oppose that conduct. You see, you don't oppose things and not say about it. Let's assume Brother Sam was coming late to church. How do I tackle it? I will say, Brother Sam, you are coming late. Amen? In doing that, what am I doing? I'm opposing the conduct of lateness. I'm saying, well, I'm not. So, the moment Brother Sam sees it as I'm opposing him, then there's a problem. Brother Sam must see it as, I am looking at his conduct, and I'm opposing that conduct, so that he can change that conduct. So, Paul will say, now we've commanded. So, the church is a place where some things are commanded. The church is a place where some instructions are given. Right, the church is a place where what instructed again. So he says, withdraw yourself from every brother that walk disorderly. So are there brothers in church that walk disorderly?
Yeah.
You know, I was talking to somebody a couple years ago. And person was talking to me that you know when we started learning this word. So I started listening to God's word for what it is years before this person. But the person heard the word of truth, word of God, and started saying, no believer can backslide. So he had listened to the word for a period of time and he stopped being committed. I was like, no believer can backslide. No believer can backslide. Why? Because it's God that is holding on to me, not me holding on to God. You see, but when you pick your pastor's message to twist your pastor, it's God holding on to me, I'm holding on to God, I cannot backslide. You don't know you are backsliding. And you know what I'm saying? Before, you will come to church early, you will clean the church, you will sweep the church. But now, you send your folks ahead. Yeah, you see, man, and that's why Paul would teach about the reason why a man can say he doesn't want to marry, or a woman can say I don't want to marry, because when you are married, you care for what the things of the world, but as a single man, your eyes fixed. And Paul would say, I advise you be like me. All of you don't use the A-word. All of you don't use the A-word. Paul say be like him. He say Paul is the Christocentric man. Eh? All of you are marrying. Yeah. Yeah. You see a brother who was committed in the choir before, you will be coming to church diligently every morning. All of a sudden, if the woman or man you marry makes you reduce your commitment to Jesus, before you come to church early, before you and your wife will pray, you pray every morning and every evening, you give birth to one child.
Pray for us. Just you said your wife, just go to the woman and pray for us.
How many of you grew up in those houses where your father will come in when you are sharing the grace? And they still call him daddy. Daddy, close it for us. And you know that in those templates, you are seeing something to formulate. And I always tell you, when you say an example is either good or bad. It's either something you should emulate from or something you should not go close to. How we together? Let it be that anything that happens to you in your life, have you noticed that when things could start going in a different way for some people, the first thing that suffer for it is the local church. Wait. You got a job. Okay. They sacked you. You didn't come to church. Okay. No. Let's bring it on. Right? You were dating a woman that you loved. And they broke your heart. You didn't come to church. Praise God. Hallelujah. Go to Numbers. Numbers, the book of Numbers. Jesus is alive in me forever. Numbers 9, verse 11. Look at verse 10. Don't go to verse 11 first. Look at verse 10. Numbers chapter 9, verse 10. Numbers 9, 10. Are you there? Are you Numbers 9, 10? Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if any man of you or of your posterity shall be unclean by reason of a dead body, or be in journey afar off, yet he shall keep the Passover unto the Lord. Let's read verse 11 together. 1, 2, 3, go. The 14th day of the second month in the evening, they shall keep it, and eat it with unleavened bread and bitter. And so what do you eat on? What do you eat February 14th? You did not say it. What are you supposed to eat February 14th? Unleavened bread. So if they break your hand before, what do you not carry?
Unleavened bread. Paul will not tell you Christ is our Passover.
Amen. Yeah. You know it's not today that people started breaking hearts. I saw a post. My friend posted something. He said, because you've not posted this much, I'm breaking up with you. And they're trying to avoid buying Valentine gifts. Have it together. Right? So, can a believer's heart be broken? That's why Paul will say, give your heart to Jesus. Give your heart to Jesus. He does not break hearts. Give your heart to Jesus. You say no. You connect your heart back. You say you want to give a brother.
And the brother now breaks your heart.
And the brother's heart is still with Jesus. Bless be the Father. Great things he has done. He has taken away my sins. After the Holy Ghost in me. I want to get. So when things are going south at your workplace, who should not suffer for it? Church. I commend the church. When things are going south amongst brethren in the church, what should not suffer for it? The church. All together. Right? So, we need to ask ourselves questions. What exactly is our love for the church? What exactly is our love for the body? What exactly is our love for the people? So, Paul will tell you in 1 Corinthians, let me show you two things. We're reading 2 Thessalonians, right? Please just go back there, sorry. Second Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6 to 18. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourself from those who walk disorderly and not after the direction that we have received of us. For yourselves know that how ye ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might be charitable to any of you, might not be charitable to any of you. Now, because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. Look at verse 10, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not walk, he should not what? Eat. For we hear that there be some which walk among you disorderly, walking not at all, but are busybodies. You see, the only reason why you have time for busybody is because you don't have a work. Always get that. If most of what you do with your time is to be looking for gist, looking for story, looking for topic, looking for the trending news, looking, there are some people I know on my contact list that if I want to know what's happening in the world, just go to their status. It's not like they study media and publication. They're not journalists, though. Right? They just know how to get news. Some of you, what is it? Some of you, the day you start making life better for you is the day you unfollow those blogs. Are you here? The day you unfollow those blogs that make you see that the power of God is not really true. You see, when you see somebody operating things of the spirit, and the first thing that comes to your mind is this person might be false, and you are in trouble. Did you hear me?
Yeah.
When you see somebody, I'm talking about anybody in the world, when you see somebody operating the things of the spirit, and the first thing, I'm not saying you are discerning to know that this is, but I'm saying everybody you see operating things of the spirit, the first thing that comes to your mind is that this is false, you are in trouble. The only reason your heart is there is because we fed your heart with the false teachings or the false examples. Are we together? For every false you see, when it comes to the death of the spirit, there's a real one. Yeah, when you hear a comedian talking, yeah, I love comedy, you know, I love comedy. I have some comedians I go to who are clean and I go and listen to them. There's some comedians I can never listen to. But when a comedian begins to say, and that's how they came, and the pastor just did, and then we started scattering chairs, started breaking chairs. And you'd be laughing. When they say you laugh in the Holy Ghost, you'll be doing. You see where the problem is? Well, how will you laugh in the Holy Ghost when they've told you that somebody's scattering? That guy is so funny. Some people go as much to say he's anointed from God for comedy. Some people who are joking now say there's gospel comedian. Gospel comedian. The joke is on us. You give yourself gospel and you invite you to church. You put gospel in front. Eh? We now have gospel comedians. All the way from the United States. We welcome in our midst with Jesus joined our hearts. One of the most leading gospel comedians. Say, and he'll come and we saw the pastor. Pastor will be laughing. I don't remember who will be laughing. They are working on your mind. You see, the plan of the devil is not as much on one person. It is he wants to scatter everything that God is doing on the earth. Don't allow yourself to be a vessel. Subconsciously or consciously. That's why you can't afford to be neutral on this earth. Don't be neutral. No, don't be neutral. Don't say I just watch comedy skits and you know, just because I just want to relax every time and just move. No, don't be neutral. Don't be neutral. When you start seeing things coming to matters on your faith, you stand firm. Altogether. So Paul will say in verse 11, not being busybodies. Now let's read verse 12 together. 1, 2, 3, go. Now let's read together verse 12. 1, 2, 3, go. Now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they walk and eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. Look at verse 4 together. 1, 2, 3, go. And if any man obey not our words by this letter, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. It's in your Bible. It's in your Bible. So Paul is saying, if as a church we give an instruction, and you see somebody who is deliberately going against that instruction, what did Paul say? Nothing. That's not when you make that person your best friend. He says, nothing. Do not company. So what is the reason? What is the reason for not company? So that the person can be what? So Paul teaches that some people need to be ashamed in Christ. Are we together? You see, once your corrections come, it can make you ashamed. But the goal of that is not to make you condemned. It is so that you can recollect yourself to realize who you truly are. You are one who Christ died for. You shouldn't be behaving like this. So Paul is saying to the Corinthian man who was saying to his father's wife, you are born again now. You are born again now. Now, what's the difference between what Paul did in our world? In Paul's world, the only people that will know the master with his father's wife will be people in the Corinthian church. And the only people that will know that Paul disciplined him is people in Corinthians or people that read the letter to the Corinthians. But in our world, what will happen today? You people know. If I call a man now and say, stand there and say, if I call a man for instance and say, come and stand there, they told me you are sleeping with your father's wife. Before I just finish the matter, hashtag job that does not love. They'll start trending and they only pick that part. They only pick that part. Yeah, you see, some people are so good at listening to evil parts. And they're also good with technology to cut out that part. Just cut out that part and just run with it and start posting it and people start sharing it. All together. Let me tell you something. If I call a man to stand there and I say you were doing wrong, have I done scripturally right? Yes, no. Where should that matter end? In the church. The moment any of you step out to go and tell another person who is not a member of the local church that matter, you started putting yourself in trouble. Come and see what happened in my church today. Hey, wonders never end. Hey? You are putting yourself in what? In trouble. If Sister Stephanie tells me that Brother John is still in his office, they are working together. I say, Pastor, I realize that anytime a letter goes to Brother John's table, it changes 2 zeros to 4 zeros. What I say? So I can choose to call Brother John personally. You know why Paul will address them this way? Because Paul wasn't with them. So Paul will send a letter to them. I say, you see that brother? Correct him. If he continues stealing, what do? You treat him. But look at what Paul says in verse 15. Let's read verse 15 together so you can understand what I'm trying to say. 1, 2, 3, go. First Thessalonians 3, verse 15. 1, 2, 3, go. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. So Paul is saying the one you don't compete with, you don't count him as an enemy. So if Brother John does something wrong, is he our enemy?
No, he's our brother now.
Because the same blood that bought us is the same blood that bought him. However, he needs to be ashamed as our brother so that he can change his conduct. You see, we live in a world, for instance, where people who are not married live together. Are we together? If you find out that somebody, and that's why some people now, because they don't want pastors to know, they start wearing hoodie. Everybody's wearing hoodie. Just cover yourself. You just stick around the hoodie because you don't know which member is around before they go and turn into First Corinthians 5. Wear face mask. I don't know why people ask you this question. Why is it that Corona has gone since? But people are still fully equipped. There's food everywhere. Are we together? So can you know about certain things that are, because you need to see the church. Let me tell you something. The reason why we tackle a brother like that sleeping with his father's wife is because that can contaminate the entire church. So to not contaminate the entire church, we separate him. Let everybody know him. And then let everybody know that we don't support that conduct. Are we together? Let everybody know that. You see, this thing we are saying, is it to listen to it until it is you? I know now. Is it listen to it until it is you? But whether it is you or it is not you, the correction that needs to be brought needs to be what? Needs to be brought. Look at Paul in 1 Timothy. Let me show you something. You know, look at 1 Timothy. Or look at 2 Timothy for our time. 2 Timothy 2 verse 15. Don't forget, he who the Father loves is the one that what? He chastens. Say, I can be chastened of God. Say, I can be chastened of God. Say, I can be corrected by God. Say, I can be corrected by God's word. And I can be corrected by God's mind. All together. Right? You see, you know, the Bible of Hebrews tells you that when you are being corrected, it's not joyous. Right? So, you can be corrected right now, and it's okay for you not to feel okay. But when that you not feeling okay begins to boomerang into so many things, then there's trouble. Are you listening? Yeah? So if you look at 2 Timothy, is that where I asked you to go to?
Yeah.
Verse 15. It says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the what? The word of truth. Look at verse 16. Shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their words will eat as though a canker. That's the word cancer. Of whom is who? Are you in your Bibles? 2 Timothy 2 verse what?
17. Let's read 17 together. 1, 2, 3, go. And there was with it as though a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus. So is Paul warning Timothy of a kind of doctrine that is being taught?
Yeah.
Did Paul call the names of the preachers?
Yeah.
Did Paul call the names of the preachers?
Yeah.
Are we together? So Paul called the names of the preachers who preach. That means there are some things in the local church. That, look at it. There's some contexts that are meant for the local church. They are meant for the local church. They are meant for the what? The local church. Like we keep it in the local church. So when Paul tells Hymenaeus and Philetus about a bad conduct or bad teaching practice of two people, what should that make Timothy do? Yeah? Deal with that. But treat as a brother. So, if Paul calls Hymenaeus and Philetus' name, for instance, does that mean he hates them? Does that mean they are his enemies? So, if Hymenaeus and Philetus don't want Paul to call their name, what do? They repent, or they don't do what they are doing. Yeah? That's the scripture where you now see. Look at it. Look at what Paul says in verse 18. He says, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth of God's word have heard, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrew the what? The faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth what? Sure, having the seal. What it says, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from what? Iniquity. Yeah, the Lord knoweth them that are his, is teaching about his doctrine. He's not saying that somebody who was born again before and is now preaching false doctrine is no longer born again. No, that's not true. Yeah? The foundation of the Lord standing sure means that his word is forever sure. Regardless of who says otherwise, his word is his word. Yeah? So when he says, there are some vessels unto dishonor and some vessels unto all of those things, he's talking about how we need to depart from iniquity when naming the name of Christ. What does it mean to name the name of Christ? It means to teach the doctrine of Christ. So the Paul call names. Yeah? Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Sorry, 2 Timothy 4, verse 14. Look at what Paul has to say about some men. Look at verse 10. Are you in 2 Timothy 4, verse 10? For Demas had forsaken me, having loved this present world. See, can a believer who was committed as a pastor love this present world?
Yeah.
Listen now. Do you have an example in the Bible? Yeah, 2 Timothy 4:14. Yeah. So Demas had forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, and Titus to Dalmatia. What do you say in verse 11? Only Luke is with me. So Paul says to Timothy, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me and for what? The ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to where? Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Trials with Carpus, when thou comest, bring with thee, and the books, but especially the what? The parchment. Let's read verse 14 together. Every saint in God's palace. 1, 2, 3, go. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. See, Paul mentions a man who does him evil and doesn't just mention a man's name, he puts his profession. Are we together? So I can say, Sister Stephanie, the doctor, has done me much evil. Now, you must learn something from what he did. Paul did not curse Alexander the coppersmith. Amen? Paul did not curse Alexander the coppersmith. That's instructive as well. There was none of those people that did these terrible things that call Paul cursed. But what was Paul's prayer? Paul says, the Lord reward him according to his works. What is it? So imagine Alexander the coppersmith hears this and he's saying, God has, and it doesn't change his conduct. And he says, God in my father, for his blood. We know it's his blood that made you born again. But there's a slant you must have. There's a slant you must have towards correction. There are things you will let go of. There are things you will change regarding. What am I saying to you today? There are things you will do coincidentally. See, See, there's some things that it had. Did you remember the narrative of a man who the Bible says it is better for the man not to be born? What's the most better? Yeah, it had been better that the man that does this thing was never born. Oh, now you said the name, right? You say it with your full chest now. Brother Judas. What did Judas do to Jesus? He betrayed. Did the betrayal of Judas take Jesus unawares?
No.
It didn't shock him. He knew ahead. Did the denial of Jesus, of Peter, did it shock Jesus? He gave them an utterance. And I see, for I see. For before the cock will crow, and I see a man will deny 3 times, the cough will beat over my living and dead body. I would rather that I'm not breathing. Oh God. Do you know what it is for someone to prophesy that you deny somebody 3 times? And you did it 3 times. What an accurate prophecy. Like somebody tells you will deny somebody 3 times. Do you understand that? Like I'll say, imagine I say to all of you, if when I say that kind of thing, the thing that should come on your mind is, I must not be the one. But you deny somebody 3 times, you now hear the cock crow. Oh, you say, oh, it's me. That's the fulfillment of that prophecy. But you know, fulfill prophecy that, but guess what? Peter will still be the one that Jesus will say, feed my sheep. Why? Because your mishap does not change how God wants to use you. Your mishap does not uncall you as a minister. However, your mishap must stop as a mishap.
Yeah.
Your mishap is not the message. Your mishap is not who you are. Your mishap is a flaw. Tilting away from that flaw which God has put you. You hear what I say? It's a flaw that makes you tilt or push or come down from the floor that God has placed you. But in God's heart and eyes, you are still his very own. You are still his very child. So Peter is an example of somebody who did something to Jesus as well as Judas. But Peter is an example of one who allows the world to enter his heart and he comes back and he still fulfills ministry. While Judas is one who allows condemnation in his heart and what? He gets to kill himself. There are 2 types of believers in the church. Let me say there are 3. There's the Peter. There's the Judas who will kill himself afterwards, after the bad thing he has done. And there's also the others who will not do anything at all. Do you know you can serve in the church? I know we are in our world, we are in serious problem. Our parents' world, you see your parents were in the church for 25 years and they are still there. You see an elderly man. I saw a video of a man who has been a church drummer for 60 years, the same church. But today, they correct you small. You say they don't value the oil on your life. Don't worry, we'll go for a journey today. I'm going to teach longer. Amen. And you relax your mind. Don't say, Pastor, no, I'll teach you today. We're here by the power of the message of God. Today is true. You bulleted that you'll get home. We're here. You read the lamp of God at the reason of the world. Hallelujah. She wants to drink water. She's not almost finishing. So what would I now drink? Give me some life there. How is it that we are here? No, I want to say these things as much as I need to say this, right? So, in the real sense, in our world today, we have people who say they don't honor the oil of my life. They don't regard me as a saint. They don't preach what. They don't practice what they preach. I saw a comment yesterday. Pastor Nyakas was leading a post of someone who did something around that in our world today, if they ask you if Jesus come and ask you, who is your pastor? How did he even say it again? He says something around, if Jesus come and ask, who is your pastor? You know, you need to answer it. Jesus will now say, you have said right. For
you say that is not my, like, the person said, this is your pastor.
They say,
that's not my pastor.
Oh, yeah. So, if Jesus say, is that your pastor? They say, that's not my pastor, right? Then Jesus will now say, you said right. For even the one you are listening to right now, he's not even your pastor. There's a way I'll get. Exactly. In 4 years, you have 7 pastors. One of the things I've learned in my life is
You see, a lot of times I realize that those that usually run to calling people spiritual father, the people that are fast in the fathering people. Yes. See, we had better go to local church and just serve and end the position of either father or son, up to you. Yeah? Before you say, God asked me to follow you. God asked me, that's why, so God asked me to follow you. But when you now stop, God asked me to unfollow you. God asked me to unfollow you and block you. Oh, gracious father. Are we together? Yeah, so in the real sense, you see people who have five different pastors. Of the truth, the person you are listening to as well is not your pastor. But look at our parents' generation. Are you telling me that our parents did not see flaws in our pastor? Are you telling me? You will see flaws in me now. What are you thinking? What are you thinking? I'm not Jesus, so. And Jesus, even Jesus, my Lord and Savior, say, woe be you if everybody speak well of you. Is that Bible right? Woe be you. Imagine Jesus, God, men still spoke evil of him. Who am I? I was addressing the pastor of the Nigerian church a few days ago while I called. And I was just saying, like, if Jesus can pastor Judas. See, I saw what I said. I said, if Pastor Jesus can pastor Judas, he must be ready for different kinds of human beings. That's why for me, I'm learning it. It's hard for me, but I'm learning it. Not to feel like when a member does not behave in a godly way is my fault. I used to be in that place before. I'll feel like I've not done well. I'm supposed to have taught something. I used to be there before, but who can be as perfect as Pastor Jesus? Pastor Jesus, the perfect one, still gave utterance to Peter. He still denied him 3 times. Pastor Jesus was denied by Judas. Pastor, it's sounding different. Like, because who was Jesus's pastor? Who was Judas' pastor? So Jesus pastored somebody who betrayed. Not just betrayed another brother, betrayed his pastor.
Yeah.
Judas. So who am I? So what do I do? After 3 years of pastoring, I'm suffering myself. After 2 months, I'm already giving up. 2 months. Somebody's pastor. Pastor Jesus, pastor. They were not going. It's not like Jesus will take them to school. They will go and learn ABC in the morning and come and learn the word in the afternoon. He was teaching them. They will go together, village to village, coast to coast. And Pastor Jesus will be leading the people. And yet, Pastor Jesus will be betrayed with big knife. Let me say something that shocks this brother. Or something. Who is the man that caught somebody's ear? So Jesus pastored a man that took knives to church. Hey God, thank you. You see, listen, you're laughing. It brings comfort to my heart. Apostle Jesus, pastored a man that brought knife to church. He said, if I don't take it by force, if you don't hear the word, you hear by his word. Ah, God. While laughing on light, this thing gives me comfort. Think about it. Look at it. What was Peter hearing? What was Peter hearing that for over 3 years he still saw the need for knife in his pocket? And when they were bringing the man, they wanted to come and carry Master Jesus, he would just bring it back and stand like this. So Jesus would be standing there and see the word. For God said, love the word. Stand behind his only knife. As soon as I just see brother tightening, because that's when that come and come, just bring it back. You put it right back, you clean it and put it back. Say, come in! Yeah. See, don't let that discourage. When you see somebody who was committed before and is no longer committed, don't be discouraged. If Jesus pastors Judas and Peter, who am I? Oh, we've not seen people. I love the Lehi. You've not seen people. Are we together? So don't get your heart discouraged when you see bad conduct. Don't get yourself discouraged when you see somebody who was committed before, no longer committed. You stay committed. Who am I? See, Jesus is the Word made flesh. The Word made flesh is your pastor. For 3 years. Are we together? So that must bring comfort to us as saints. are not discouraged. That we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus Christ. We keep our eyes fixed on service as an end in itself. We keep our eyes fixed on the things of God. So Paul will say, Alexander Smith has done me bad. You see, learn to be a person who, when the pastor sees you and wants to mention your name for an example, is not a bad example. Let me say, Sister Jessie told me, anytime she comes to church like this, she's just all worshiping God and feast on God. Let me say, if Brother Daniel comes to church, right, you just, like, you could just tell he's somebody that wants to just give the things of the Spirit. When Sister Vim appears in church, like there's an, like, be that example, you bring warmth to the saints. But when you put your pastor in a place where I want to say to all of you, but I don't want to mention her name, you see that sister? Don't be like her. You see that brother? Don't be like her. Did I mention him? No. Yet you put yourself in that position. As a pastor, I have the right to mention him. Yes or yes? You know, there's no more option. Yes or yes? So, dear saints, a time may come you might do something wrong. And I will call you aside and say, sister, brother, do this differently. Let me tell you something. It's not every time you might be corrected that you like the tone used. Amen? That's the problem with our world. I have a friend who took him long before he started learning God's word for itself. You know why? In the name of tone. You started listening to God's word, but you say, no, I can't listen to that person. Why would you be talking with that kind of tone? The meaning tone. Grammar. The meaning tone. Eventually, 4 or 5 years after he came around, and he still hears the meaning tone. Imagine he started 4 years ago. Thank God there's grace in God. So, correction will not, you see, some of you have never seen me like this. Eh? Yeah, some of you, are, but this is not even the mean correction of 4 years ago. But when correction comes, much more than the tone that is used, will I try not to use the best of tones? I will try. It's just like when you have a child. Imagine you plug iron on the table. And you quickly want to go and bring a trouser. You want to go and iron. You see your child that just started hopping or started walking. Or maybe he has not even walked before. And the first walk you look for is metal, iron man. That's plugged though. Highest, the thermostat high. And you know what to do? You know, say, baby, you gotta pay. I'm singing for him. Baby, you are a baby. I want to tell you that I love you. You are a baby. And I saw you, I didn't want you to harm yourself. Please come. Please come. Is that what you do to Eddie? Please come. And if you will not start dancing with you, come, please, come. And you do chorus, please, come. And he just respond, I am coming, I am coming. Is that how you do with iron? Imagine a stupid child who, when you are trying to save him, he said, I don't like the way you spoke to me. I feel like I'm a calmer. What do you do? You are beating. You knock him, right? Yeah, that's the traditional ambition. I know ask you to knock your child, though. Before you say that, what pastor does at home? I'm not saying though. No, you correct with the word. You stay with the word. The word works. You are laughing. I was on a 5 hour call with Nigerian church leaders a couple hours ago on Friday. I told them, I said, we're not in that place, so. Let me be careful what I say. Please don't remove this from the recording. No. I don't say knock your child, though. That's not who I am. Only my child will know who I am. I mean, don't misrepresent me. I'm born again. Right? But imagine your child's concern is that they are not like when you spoke to me. So it means that there's some things you will see somebody going south. And it's not because of love, you don't want that to fall on him. But in our world today, because you think you've grown. Why? Because you think you have 3 cars. You now have a house. You bought a house in 5 different continents. Don't just keep your words here. And that, you see, it is this kind of thing that has made some people stop going to church. So people are outside the church, they are claiming their hurt. Who hurt them? Nobody. But they created the hurt in themselves. Are we together? So Paul will say there's a way we behave. There's a way we act. There's a way, there's a place of authority. Now let's look at 1 Samuel. Right. I thought I was being for a reason. Second Samuel 13, I'm sorry. Or before then, go to Romans 15, 4. Say God's word corrects me. Say God's word corrects me. Say, and I listen to correction. Praise God. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. It says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime, that means anything we read in scriptures, they were written for our what? Learning. That we through patience and the comfort of the scripture might what? Might have hope. 2 Timothy 3 verse 15. Let's read 2 Timothy 3 15 together as a church. Second Timothy 3 verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto what? Salvation through faith. Let's read verse 16 together. 1, 2, 3, go. All scriptures is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for what? Doctrine. For what? Reproof. For what? Correction. For instruction in righteousness. So can the word correct you?
Yes.
Should the word correct you?
Yes.
There is nobody that is bigger than the correction of the word, including your pastor. Including your pastor's pastor's pastor. Including your pastor's great spiritual father. Some people now, they don't do spiritual father again. They're not spiritual grandfather, spiritual great grandfather. Yeah? Anybody, spiritual commander, any name you call yourself, you should never be bigger than the correction of the word. Now go to 2 Samuel chapter 13. So you know what I'm going to do this morning? I'm going to, so each one of you will read one verse. So that's how I know you are following. And you read one verse. And the right person read the first verse. Starting, you start for us. You read verse 1, start, you read verse 2, you read verse 3. And when somebody say, where are we? And we know. Amen? And so you follow from the beginning. I'm going to increase my volume so I will read with you all as well. And what can I so follow from 2 Timothy, 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 1. Let's go to 1 Samuel. 1, 2, 3, go. And it came to pass.
This Absalom, the son of David, had loved a sister whose name was Tamar, and Amnon, the son of David, loved her. Amnon was so distressed over his sister Tamar that he became sick, for she was a virgin, and it was improper for Amnon to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of
Shimea,
David's brother. Now Jonadab was a very crafty man, and he said to him, O son of the king, why are you so haggard morning after morning? Will you not tell me? Amnon said to him, I have come on my brother Absalom's sister.
And Jonadab said unto him, lay me down on my bed and make thyself sick. And when thy father cometh to thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come and give him it and dress it in my sight, that I may see it and eat it at her hand.
Then Amnon lay down and pretended to be ill. And when the king came to see him, Amnon said to the king, please let Tamar, my sister, come and make a couple of cakes for me in my sight, that I may eat from her hand.
Then David sent home to Tamar, saying, go now to their brother Amnon's house and dress him with.
So Tamar went to the house of her brother Amnon, who was laying down. She took some dough, kneaded it, made the bread in his sight, and baked it.
And she took a pan and poured them out before him, but he refused to eat. And Amnon said, how about all men from me? And they went out, every man from him.
And Amnon said unto Tamar, bring the meat into the chamber, that I may eat of thy hand. And Tamar took the cake which she had made, and brought them into the chamber to Amnon.
And when she had brought them unto him to eat, he took hold of her and said to her, come lie with me, my sister.
And she answered him, nay, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not thou this folly.
And I, whither shall I cause my shame to go? And as for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. Now therefore, I pray thee, speak unto the king, for he would not withhold me from thee.
he would not take him to her voice, but being stronger than her, that she forced her and lay in turn.
Then Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he had loved her. And Amnon said unto her, arise and be gone. And she said unto him, this is no cause. The evil is in sending me away is greater than the other that thou didest to me. For he will not hearken unto her. Verse 17, I'm going to there. Let's read 1-3, go. Then he called his servant that ministered unto him and said, put now this woman out of me and bolt the door after her. Verse 18 together, 1-3, go. And she had a garment of divers colors upon her, and for such rule that the king's daughters that were virgins apparel. Then his servant brought her out and bolted the door after him. And Tamar put ashes on her head and rent her garment of divers colors that was on her and laid her hands on her hand and her head and went crying. And after my brother said unto her, verse 20, had Amnon thy brother been with thee, but hold now thy peace, my sister, he is your brother, regard not this thing. So Tamar remained desolate in her brother. So Absalom told Tamar, just walk in love towards him. Is that what he said to him? He said to her, rather. He said, he's your brother now, walk in love towards him. You get that? Look at what happened in verse 21. But when King David heard all these things, he was very wroth. That means he was angry, upset. And Absalom said unto his brother Amnon, neither good nor bad. For Absalom hated Amnon because he had forced his sister Tamar. And it came to pass that after 2 full years, that Absalom had sheep shearers in Baal Hazor, which is beside Ephraim, and Absalom invited the king's son. Now we've read all of this part separately. Look at verse 27. So Absalom had asked his father to come for the party and ceremony. 27, Absalom tried to pressure his father that he let Amnon and all the king's son go with him. Now Absalom, verse 28, let's read together. Absalom, verse 28, 1-3, go. Now Absalom had commanded his servants, saying, mark ye now when Amnon's heart is merry with wine. And when I say unto you, smite Amnon, then kill him. Fear not, have I not commanded you? Be courageous and be brilliant. Is that not like an entrance from the Holy Ghost? And I see, and I say, and I foresee. And I say, do not be afraid, do not be timid. Do not crawl into your shell, but with boldness and confidence, take a knife and strike him. That's what was happening here. So let me tell you something. That Absalom counseled Tamar to walk in love does not mean Absalom is a believer. Okay? That Absalom counsels Tamar to walk in love does not mean that Absalom the believer is doing a right thing. That Absalom counsels Tamar to walk in love does not mean that Absalom does not have walk in the flesh. You see why Absalom is a very subtle character? Because one would have thought that he's a very lovely, for him to say, oh, forgive your brother. You would have thought that, oh, the word is working in his heart. Yeah, you would have thought that. But what happened? Now, what did Jonadab do? What did Jonadab do? He counseled Amnon. Is Jonadab a good friend? Okay. Was Jonadab the first Absalom? Yes, sir. Because Jonadab would tell Amnon, don't worry, just lie down and give him the devilish craft. The Absalom will come like the MOG. And he will say, no, don't worry, Tamar, don't worry. Don't worry. You know, the Bible says we should follow peace with all men. Without which no man shall see the Lord. Just be at peace. What now happens to Absalom? Go all the way to verse 20. Verse 20. If I think we read it in verse 23. And it came to pass after 2 full years. So Absalom, who supposedly asked Tamar to walk in love, for 2 years did not say anything. Look at it in your Bible now, verse 23. And Absalom, and came to pass after 2 years, that Absalom had sheep shearers in Baal Zebub, which is beside Ephraim. There's a part where he says that he could not take anything from Absalom's words. Yeah, what was that? Sorry, thank you for that. And Absalom spoke unto his brother Amnon, neither good nor bad. For Absalom hated Amnon. So Absalom hated Amnon, but asked Tamar to walk in love. He says, for he did not say, so it means that you will not trap Absalom's mind. Yeah? Absalom usually will try to want to have conversation face to face with you. They don't do text. They try to run away from text and voice notes. Yeah? No receipts. Right? And anytime they come close to you, they try to check your phone, if your phone is recording or not. And let me just say, can I take a picture of you? They are checking if the red button is doing like this. Recording. Right? So, they write, there's something I want to say to you, but I'm not saying it over the phone. Let's stop this, Kali.
So that you cannot place B or C. Say, but after now, did you say it or did you not say it? You just been recording. Wait, is this your voice or is not your voice? Just answer that question first. You know, now what people say, they say it's AI. And people will use AI like in this coming generation. And people will also use AI to defraud other people. People will use AI to stay. That's why in this life, you will try your best, try your best, try your best. You will try to please people. They will still do you. Strong thing. Yeah? You will try. If somebody will go and take your voice and go and turn it and put words on your voice. If I decided doing the one for video now, I have a video on my phone of what they were testing one AI stuff. A man, I think they did a recording of the real man talking and the AI talking. And they played the two and they said the crowd should tell who is the real man talking. And the fake man, all the words the fake man said, the real man has never said it in his life. We're in trouble. Absalom will use AI in this hour. That's the disadvantage. So let's use AI too for the world as much as possible if we can. But in the recess, we need to draw the line. But Absalom will still use AI. They will just tap your picture and they will just record you. Yet, that's the problem with our generation. We will do worse than what we see in the Bible. Why? Because we are more intelligent. Because we have more opportunities, more things that we have at our disposal. Absalom, for 2 years, he doesn't need to have to any of them. But he planned this killing. He planned the killing of the man for 2 years. Dude, that's terrible. When somebody offends you and you are smiling for 2 years, that's terrible. After 2 years, he's planning a pattern. Planning a pattern. After 2 years, execute a plan. And I can tell you for free, within those 2 years, there will be pictures of you and Absalom. And I tell you for free, within those 2 years, there will be days where you've gone out for lunch with Absalom. Are we together? Let me tell you what Absalom's problem was fundamentally. So, Absalom is one who will be counseling people who they should not. Do you think Absalom was in the right place to counsel Tamar? He wasn't, because he hated the person that was involved. So they'll try to get, you know, the word says, and Absalom is the one who you will not do anything to them, but they will pick the matter on their head more than ever before. Mm-hmm. Absalom is the one. Now, did David hear about what happened? Yes. But what do you expect David to do? To kill his child? That's how we put God in a very tight corner. We think that, you know, if anybody that fights, that's why he has to be there, you know, nobody can touch me and go scot-free. The reason you think that way is because you think you are God's favorite child. And they've told you are the apple of God's eye. So we try to recruit God to fight somebody we're having quarrels with. So David will give a judgment, but Absalom will not be satisfied. Who is Absalom in the church? The one who every judgment the leadership gives, they are never okay with it. Is there, can an instruction come in church and you're not okay with it and you feel like it can be done better? Yes. Who do you speak it to? The man who gave the instruction or your leader? When you need to have leaders right now, you speak to your leader. Oh, I want to speak to pastor about this. Or if you have a relationship with pastor, feel free to reach out to your pastor. Pastor, this thing you said, there's a sister around here. I mean, she's not here today. And she reached out to me very recently on, I taught something in one of my teachers in passing about communion. Bless her heart. She reached out to me. I said, this thing, da-da-da-da-da. And I said, oh, well, I've done a detailed teaching about that. But it made me happy that I'm in a place where people can see me as someone they can talk to regarding their concerns. Either it is that she does not understand or she has never heard it before. That's not the case. The case is that is bothering her heart and she doesn't go and look for another person. That's what that man is saying. She came to me directly. Pastor, see that thing you said? This is how I grew up learning it though. And you know, guess how she ended that statement? Bless her heart. Lovely lady. She said, maybe you should not even say those kind of things. It was very funny when I heard it, you know. But bless her heart that she spoke to the right person. Because most people are saying, how can that man say this kind of thing? That person say, is that true? Problem. Is that true? I saw there was one that you say, you reported that issue to pastor. What did pastor do? Don't forget, King Solomon gave a counsel to split the charge. When he decides that decision, in the real sense, who is losing anything from that? The other woman. But is that his decision? Yeah. Is it so? If let's assume that issue ended with Solomon splitting the two.
what happens? The conversation should die in the palace. Right? It becomes troublesome. It becomes very pathetic when the conversation that people are, what people now begin to do is, well, they want to go and pick somebody that is, you know, somebody that was not in the narrative, somebody who was not in the picture, somebody who, and they start, they want to discuss, they want to have a chit chat. How are you careful about Absalom? The one who will come and tell you that the way pastors taught, we would have that conversation of the way pastors spoke today. Do you think, I feel like a man of God should not be talking that way. To be like, it's true. Are we together? So, Absalom will show unnecessary care, undue care. You mean the judge did that to you? You mean that fellow did that to you? And in that conversation, they think they are, you think they are comforting them, or they are comforting you. Meanwhile, they have ulterior motives. Let me tell you something. First Corinthians 10, we've read it before, not today. What it says, let he who stands take heed, lest he falls. Don't think you are immune to the words of Absalom. Because a lot of times the words of Absalom might be innocent or sound innocent. Are we together? So you need to be careful. You need to be careful. You need to now. What Amnon did, was it terrible?
Yeah.
Yes. Now, who should be the judge of what Amnon did? The king. David should be the judge of that. When you start seeing people want to take things into their hands, want to hold things into their hands. Are we together? So we need to be careful of the counsels, the implication of the counsels we get, especially when we are hurt. It's not that. We need to be careful of the implication of the counsels we get, especially when you are hurt. You need to be careful. David was to rebuke. David did rebuke, but Absalom was not satisfied with the rebuke. You mean pastor did that to you? Look at the same 2 Samuel chapter 13, verses 9. And the soul of King David longed to go forth unto Absalom, for he was comforted concerning Amnon, seeing that he was what? Dead. Now Joab, the son of what? Of who? Zeruiah, perceived that the king's heart was towards Absalom. And Joab sent Tekoa and fetched then a wise woman. Yeah? Look at chapter 14, verse 25. Let me just jump to verse 25 today. But in all Israel, there was none to be so much praised as Absalom. Are you there? There was none to be, look at verse 23, 24. And the king said, let him turn to his own house and let him not see my face. So Absalom returned to his own house and saw not the king's face, right? But in all of Israel, there was none to be so much praised as Absalom for his beauty. From the sole of his foot, even to the crown of his head, there was no blemish in him. So that means Absalom was a beautiful man. Are we together? Absalom was a beautiful man. You know, beauty can allow you to have superiority complex. You know, being handsome can make you have superiority complex. There's a song I heard recently. I can't remember who released that song. He said, in this generation, God is raising fine boys that love Jesus. And you are posting it. And you are sharing it. You know, sometimes we just max our carnality on that spirituality. God is raising people that are fine boys. What does that mean? What on earth does that mean? And you put out that grand song. You stand in front of God's palace, oh, no hotel at the gate. You do like this. That grand song. I hope I've stopped you from doing this afternoon zone. Praise be to the Lord Most High.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Eh? There's nothing wrong with standing in front. There's nothing wrong with standing. But you let the song be at the back be solid. People are battling with so many things. You are seeing God is raising people down. Like, so I know superiority complex now comes in. Absalom was so fine, he was so beautiful, so beautiful, so beautiful that people, the Bible says that people were praising him for his beauty. That's what got into his head. So Absalom can be a likable character, can speak proper English. Absalom can dress well. Dressing well does not equate to sound counsel. Dressing well does not equate to sound doctrine. Speaking fresh English does not equate to sound doctrine. It's good to speak good English. It's good to dress well. That's okay. But don't make a mistake as though that is what life is about. So yet might look very good in the dress. Yet might look very beautiful. But the person is a frustrated, angry human. Frustrated, angry human. Are we together? Yet, Every time this cap, every time just looking good, just looking cute, just piercing the nose, piercing the ear, piercing the eye. Some people pierce their eye, some people pierce everything. Pierce everything, but in piercing everything, just always remember that his hands were pierced for your sake. And you have a what? Ministry to do. That he pierced your nose, or pierced your whatever, does not change you from being a solid minister of the gospel. But just know that, let it always remember that the most important piercing is the one that he gave him on the cross. And he comes with the responsibility. Look at verse 28. Absalom had three sons in verse, another Absalom had three sons in verse 27, and one daughter whose name was Tamar. Look at 28. So Absalom dwelt 2 years in Jerusalem and saw not the face of the king. Therefore, Absalom sent his friend for Joab to have sent him to the king, but he would not come to him. And when he sent again the second time, he would not come. There's a lot to read there. I want you to go and take that later. But you just see a sense of entitlement. A sense of entitlement. A sense of entitlement. What is the sense of entitlement? When you think you are the one that should be called for everything. Are we together? Why is it that it's Sister Obami that is leading praise and worship? Why is it that it's Brother John that is leading? You see, if you are not called to do anything in local church, what do? You continue serving. It's as simple as that. Right? A proof that you are genuinely serving is not the fact that because you serve for a while, you are made a prophet. I told you before, in Nigerian church, there are some members who, they were leaders, and at some point, their examples were not worthy of being examples. What do? We delivered them. And some, for the past 3, 4 years, 5 years, that they are still serving in the local church. That's not the easiest thing to do. A church where you are known as a leader, you are no longer a leader, and everybody knows you are no longer a leader. But that's a worthy example to watch. No sense of entitlement. See, I don't see myself as the only one God has sent to the city of Edinburgh. That's not true. That's why I didn't follow all the rules that I tell you as you have gone to Edinburgh, the word has gotten there. Ah, that's trouble. You see, Pastor Chua is taking the word to Edinburgh. As who? When the Edinburgh started existing, that I would think of myself as the only one that God can use to bring the word to Edinburgh. How? That is old. Over. You see, you're over entitlement. You think like that. If it's not, I know the word. I'm the word made flesh. I'm the son of my father. Are we together? I'll close here. Let me close here, but I'll pick it up again in the next service on Wednesday. Right? So, be careful about conversations that make you want to question your state of your heart. What was Absalom? Absalom is the one who will be very bitter yet looks beautiful on the outside. Absalom is the one who will not say a word to you for 2 years but be planning your death. They take bitterness, they take unresolved offenses, they take disappointment and anger and disguise it. They disguise and begin to function in very hidden alliances. Did you say, the way Pastor corrected you, he doesn't see you in your office. He doesn't rate you in your office. How can Pastor correct you like that? What did you do? Are we together? So we need to be careful about those sense of manipulation. Now I always tell you, one of the greatest assets of a local church is our what? Unity. We cannot win in division. 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 When you don't aim to be in unity with the church you attend, what do? You look for another church. You look for a pastor who will what? Pastor you. You look for a father who will father you. You look for someone who will regard. For if you are a member of a church and you don't regard the leadership, you have no need being there. The safest thing for your sanity is to leave the place. Why? Because they are not, the point is, now, it's different when somebody is, like I said, people build hearts in their head and they make it their reality. And they keep running with it. And they go tell everybody that, oh, this is what this person did to me. Oh, this is what that person did to me. Oh. Like, you can actually leave the local church. See, let me tell you something. When I see a member who, when I meet you, everything and every conversation I have with you in my first few weeks with you, when I met you as a new member, is to tell me or to run down that ministry. From that moment, I'm careful of you. You know why? Because I cannot go to the pastor and say I want to hear his side of the story. And I also will not pick your story as the only true story. Because that's why it's very foolish to hear one side story and run with it. No matter who it is. We have a culture in our house. If somebody says, I'm not doing something well, or she's not doing something well, we don't throw the baby and the bath water away. What do we do?